Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and thank you, Lord. Some are coming one by one, being baptized in water, receiving the Holy Spirit, going on with you, showing your grace and your mercy at the very last hour, knowing you yourself standing here, ready to take the people into the millennium after that resurrection, and the great change into immortality and rising to the wedding supper. 3.5 years waiting for that day. We know it's not too far off because the very events the prophets spoke of are coming in very, very rapidly. We know that the time is at hand. That great day of the Lord is just hardly a second ticking off in terms of a thousand-year millennium that lies ahead. Help us in the study of your word, Lord, to not only hear it, but to believe it, fully receiving it, and to conform to it. And not only a confirmation, Lord, or conforming to it, but much more, Lord, the word changing us, not we doing something with it except receiving it, believing it, and keeping it deep in our hearts, meditating thereon, but it transforming us. Help us to receive that today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 22 here in the second volume of Spoken Word's Original Seed. Last Wednesday night we found Brother Branham preparing to read what God told him to write. And leading up to the reading of this passage, which we're going to get into, maybe not today but later, he spoke of the bride being a word bride who believed all of the word, not just an isolated verse such as John 3:16, and then not the rest of it. And of course he did jump instantly to John chapter 20 to show the people what they really should believe. Some had formerly believed it and taken it wrong, and now he's teaching on how to take John 20 correctly. And we went into the scripture where he mentioned that they take John 3:16 but not the rest of it, taking a broad view. And we went into the short contextual view of what followed John 3:16. And if you place it correctly, you'll notice that John 3:16 is to 20, a couple more verses. It actually is the end of the dissertation or a little sermon that Jesus preached to Nicodemus when Nicodemus misplaced Jesus. Now, Nicodemus knew that he was a prophet because he said, we know thou art a teacher sent from God, because no man can do the works that you're doing unless you are sent from God. And he was telling Jesus, now look, there's something I don't know about you that I need to know about you, so now you must talk to me about it and explain it. There's something that you are here to teach. Now, let's get on with the teaching. Well, that's very good, and it's wonderful. But you see, it's still not exactly right. And you notice how that Jesus says, let's go back and look at it. So you get the picture. And it's really very, very fantastic as we look at it within the framework of the context. And so Nicodemus, now having a desire to know what this great man and his ministry is all about. Notice, he just gave him a broadside. I mean, Jesus did not lead up to a little toe dancing, a little sparring before he gave him the knockout punch. He just let him have it. He did. Now look, come on, consider you're in this man's place. Consider that you had a man of this man's caliber. This is the Son of God in the sense of the only begotten, one of a kind, never duplicated. In thee have I begun my generations. The one in whom God was prior to any form of creation, God by Christ Jesus forming the worlds and all. Now, he just, right, truly, truly I say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he said, I'd like you to teach me something. You must become from God. Give me something concerning the kingdom. And Jesus said, pushed him right aside. He said, you'll never get anything I tell you unless you're born again. Now, that's what he told him. You can't get away from it. And Nicodemus, why? This was marvelous that this man took this right on the chin. He didn't argue. How can a man be born when he's old? Okay, at the end of the second time, his mother's womb, and Jesus said, truly, truly, I say, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth, and thou hearest his voice, the voice thereof, but thou canst not tell whence he cometh, whither he goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now he locked this man into a mystery. He just hit him hard and locked him into a mystery. See? And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Now, you notice that Jesus pushes him around. This is not like, oh, here is an Israelite indeed. No, he didn't. This is not Philip and Andrew and these boys. No, no. This is one of the real great men in the Sanhedrin. So how much kowtowing did Jesus do to anybody in authority? None. But he wasn't mean. He just let him have his broadcast. Mighty barrage. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus said, are you a master in Israel and don't know these things? He sets a premise right before him. And this man who is a leader in Israel, and the Sanhedrin said of itself, when God has problems which he can't answer, he comes to us. Beg your pardon? No? That's the way they were. They were. You take what Brother Brandon calls scrupled up. Well, he said, are you a master and don't know these things? Truly I say to you, we speak what we know. And we testify what we've seen. And you receive not our witness when you've got nothing to stand on except a couple consultations and a bluff and a boast. And you speak historically. And you, the great ones, ground under Rome. Boy, he said, for what you got and what you're supposed to have. Now he said, on my part, I know. He said, well, hey, I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus sure needed to take a lesson from Dale Carnegie. This is not the kind old priest, my brother, my sister. This is that renegade that cleaned out the temple in a hurry. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, he's telling you right there concerning his own position of power and authority. Because heaven actually is not just up, it's a high place. And Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, listen, I am an authority in authority, with all of the kingdom of God open to me. And to whomsoever I decide, I will give. And I will. Now, this is after the enticement of Satan, who said to Jesus, I can give you all this. He said, no problem. I've got all that. See, it's like they talk about a priest one time. I was a priest, or what he was. Supposed to talk to a man who had an awful lot of property. And he said, now, Father, as far as your eye can see over to the west, they own all that land. And as far as you can see down south, they own all that land. And to the east and to the north. And he said, yeah, he said, but how much do you own up there? Now that's what Jesus was doing right here. Now he said, how come? But you see, I like this old boy Nicodemus anyway. Because he knew something was there, and he was the right kind of a guy. He didn't go sneaking around the corner to ask somebody else what he thought. He went right to Jesus. Now we just keep on talking here. Now, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is the preface to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, do you think Nicodemus would have turned that one down? No. He stood right there without blinking an eye. He couldn't fathom it. He never stood with Christ at his death. He stood with him when they were judging him. He said, doesn't our law tell us you don't judge a man before that you find out what the whole truth is? And they said, oh, shut up. Are you deceived by that fella for land's sake? Don't you know no prophet comes out of Galilee? He never came out of Galilee. Came out of Judea. Galilee was just a little stopping place, you know. That's where Brother Branham called throwing a curve. You know, they didn't investigate. Nicodemus is a good old boy. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, do you think for 1 minute that this man stumbled in John 6, when Jesus said, you guys are serpent seed, and said, you're your father the devil? No. No. He didn't understand even now. But he didn't stumble and say, there's nothing to it. This man's against what I believe. Never mind the fact that these men couldn't produce anything. You know. Grown men who couldn't even produce hair in the upper lip. In other words, they had no maturity, no sense of anything. Just little tiny kids. And adulthood, playing around with the Word of God, presuming and trying to tell people they're somebody when they're nothing. Because they can throw out a few words and talk a few things. Hey, that doesn't make you a born-again Christian with anything, any salt in your life. No. Now, he didn't stumble at that. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, that his deeds should be reproved. That he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds might be made manifest, they are wrought in God. Now, we're talking strictly about worship, as in the time of Cain and Abel, and we brought this out on many occasions. Now, Brother Branham said, they can quote the one scripture and take it completely out of context and put it as a nail in a wall and hang everything on it. Now, let me tell you what that nail in the wall is like. Now, a lot of you folk remember Brother Hockenberry. All right, he's working in the great big atomic plant there in Pennsylvania. And what they have done, they built a huge concrete vat. I guess tons and tons and tons, and it holds water. And that water, I guess, gets irradiated. And one day the painter is down there painting and looking up. Now listen, I won't hurt anybody's feelings this morning if you're a scientist or a good contractor or anything else. You better watch out that you ain't half as smart as you think you are, if you should have that amongst us this morning. We've had it here. They had that huge concrete vat full of water hanging on. Now remember, when you push something against the wall like this, pressure, you know, gravity is hard to work against because you got a friction base there. That might have been what they were depending upon. But four little steel pins, what it was holding on, and the guy looked up and he saw those steel pins bending. If the church is built on that, forget it. There should have been pillars under that concrete then. Talk to Don, he'll tell you. We even had a spill went down the river and everybody kept their fingers crossed. That's real science. Keep your fingers crossed. Well, what are they doing about these spills? What are they doing in Russia? Keeping their fingers crossed. And every time the spill goes, they go, Teddy. You know. So, all right. The church cannot be built on that. It must be built on the underpinnings of the Word, the entire Word of Almighty God, strict, wonderful revelation that holds. And this is what Brother Branham is talking about. He said, now look, just don't quote John 3:16 out of context. And because you can take a few scriptures, don't think that this is the way it is. Let's go to all the scripture. Let's look at the Word. Now, especially does he use John 3:16 because that is obscure. It really is obscure. But you can, because you can take it and run with it and think it means everything, and it doesn't. Because when God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that is not simply the shedding of the blood, because he raised that one to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, to be the mediator and the intercessor, to send back that same spirit that was on him, to be the teacher, to have his will done, carried out even by the Father, to give him the kingdom. Now, they say that he is in the driver's seat, which he is. All power was given unto him. I want to ask the question, who's listening to him? What have they done with his authority? So it's good to look at Scripture and just see how Jesus, the man, handled things, because he handles them the same way right today. Now we go to page 47, reading at paragraph 7. Do you believe that John 3:16 is right? Sure. I just got to read this. That's all there is to it. All right. Everybody believes that John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son and so forth. Say amen. So they said amen. I dare you to believe the rest of it. Now, we read the rest of it, and I talked a bit this morning. See, I'm talking about the body now. So, he's going to say, all right, John 3:16, that's good for the individual. It's good for the body. But now, where does it come in for the body? Especially since we know that there's something for this hour, and if we didn't, we know the Bible doesn't change as God's Word. So, he said, let's take John 20 to start with. All right. 20th chapter, let's see. And he's got it marked down. He says, I challenge you to believe it. Oh, I just love it. Oh, I wish I could just see the Holy Spirit just hover over here like this and say, now it's me, listen. He said, look, I'm standing here and I'm going to talk. And I just wish that you could see the Holy Spirit standing here hovering. You could listen to him. Well, that picture is good enough for me, where Brother Branham said God did not only go down to Egypt with Moses and appear in signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared on Mount Sinai in a pillar of fire, and so today, and we have his picture taken. I challenge you to believe it. Now, he says, the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. All right. Okay, put on your thinking cap. I am reading from the Gospel of John. If Brother Branham is now going to take this and make a point in our hour, what is this principle we are looking at? Come on, tell me. I'm going to go home right now. Time's up. Get yourself another preacher. What is the principle? What are we looking at in that principle? Now, you see, you've got to know this. This is Alpha. I am reading Alpha. Why is this Alpha? Because Brother Branham is challenging the people in this hour concerning this. And they say, oh, that was 2,000 years ago. Heaven forbid that that man should bring that up. After all, Jesus has been done born and died and resurrected. And hallelujah, hallelujah, jumping, talk in tongues and have a great time. Forget it. Not around this guy, you don't. Not when I have Brother Branham, vindicated powerhouse, prophet of God. And he says, I challenge you to believe this. Well, bless God, I sure believe that he stood in the midst and he just went in through the building without having a door. And hallelujah, I'm looking forward to do that myself. I want to ask you a question. Why? Why would you want to go into buildings without using the door? Oh, tricky, tricky. I like tricks. I don't. I don't see any use. How do you know he didn't open the door when they weren't looking? Well, he said they had to bolt it. Have you ever thought you locked the door sometimes? It wasn't locked. Have you ever heard a bolt being slipped? No, the door was shut all right. He went through the wall without a doubt. The vibrations of a glorified person, as I've said before, could drive every person crazy on this earth. They could diffuse every bomb. Their charge would be so super against any other electrical charge, it would blow all their fuses. And hey, they wouldn't even want to do it. Now, who'd want to do it? You follow? Now, listen, I say all of these things for a purpose. And when he so said, this is Alpha, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his hands and his side. And he showed them something that they could see, which was there previously before his death and resurrection, right? And come right back, be the same person, right? In his resurrection, he now shows in a glorified body, entirely different from the other body, and he shows this is the same one. Hebrews 13 and 8, no difference. Now, then were the disciples glad when they saw thee, Lord. Then Jesus said, peace be unto you. He said, are you ready? As my Father has sent me, he's the Word, the seed, the Word seed, so send I you. Now he's standing right there and he's telling you that he now has a place which he was trying to describe to Nicodemus. And I hope Nicodemus heard of this right away and got with it right away. Because this is from John 3:16, and that which is referring to John 3:16. To even the Son of Man which is in heaven, you want to know something? I'm the authority. Now he's risen and he's authoritative as never before. So send I you. He's the Word, the seed, the Word seed. Absolutely. So send I. Do you believe it? Don't stop. There's more of it. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now remember, way back there, God breathed upon Adam. That was the Holy Ghost, the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul, which really is, he breathed on him the breath of lives. As God put everything into Christ, beginning those generations, it's all put into Adam now. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. You have one Adam, you have the last Adam. You have the first man, you have the second man. You have the one that's earthy, you have the one from heaven. Now here he stands. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Whosoever sins you remit to them, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, isn't that exactly what happened back there in the garden? Now listen, this tree is okay, brings eternal life, immortality. This tree, don't you touch it, it's death. Now, Adam and Eve made that decision, and in their decision, their word stood. Death for every single one born. Had the decision been otherwise, would have been life, life, life. So now we got the end of the trail. And Brother Brown is speaking of Christ and his bride, and he must have a virgin of the Word. And this message is addressed to that virgin of the Word, and he's telling us something here. Is that the truth? Who did he say that to? The seed, the Word. Wasn't Adam a seed word? Let's make man our image. Why? They could only be born by the word. That's the reason. Certainly because they were word. How can it be otherwise? It's in nature. Everything runs true to conformity in nature. So with God and the sons of God. That's the reason. Do you believe that? Let's take Matthew 16 now, just a minute. 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever and whatsoever thou bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I challenge you to believe it. And if that isn't the word, John 3:16 isn't the word. Now that's good. See, it's so convenient to take something and leave the other. If it doesn't quite fit, make a switch. Have you ever been into a store like I've been in? Maybe you don't go as often as I do. But anyway, I tried on a suit one day and I said, I like it. It's great. I think I'm going to buy this. I'll try on the pants. Somebody switched pants. They were fat and I was thinner. So what happened was they got this, they must have taken the pants and matched something else. So here's a suit now that doesn't fit unless you've got a guy that's I don't know what. So that's the way the church is. You just try to make things fit. Doesn't matter, as long as you figure it fits and you can steal from this one and steal from that one. I'm talking about the word now. Take any part and make it work together. It won't work. It's still that crossword. It's still that jigsaw puzzle Brother Branham said about. You get a piece in the wrong place, you've got a cow eating grass at the top of the tree. But it's still all part of the living word of God. And if you've got a piece missing in your jigsaw puzzle, you haven't got a puzzle. The picture's gone. Now, who can complain to God that he's incomplete or nature's incomplete? So he said, all right, the word of God is right, but it's got to come into a virgin womb where nothing but the seed lies there. You believe it? All right. Now, watch this real close. And he's telling you, what I'm going to tell you now is the same thing Jesus told the disciples. And if you aren't able to bear it because you don't have a virgin womb by reason of being virgin word yourself, it's going to go over your head or you're going to use it wrong. There's no way. Now, this has to work. Let's understand right off the bat. Well, Brother Bill, see, Jesus really didn't mean, you know, about the church remitting sin. Well, why did he say it? Well, he was just a sort of testing them. Well, if that's the case, he tested John 3:16 too. How do I know that this is the Son of God that rose from the dead? See, Brother Branham has got us nailed down and the nails clenched. And you are gridlocked. You can't come and you can't go. You got to stand there. You know why? Because of judgment. Now the seed of the Lord, the righteous, will not be blown away like chaff. The chaff of this hour gets blown away to a lake of fire. And you're going to see destruction within very short time according to what we see in the Word of God because the events are getting in all the time. Now, I know the harlot claims it. That's Rome. And they remit sins by their denominational power. Oh, yeah, we just read the article how the Pope, with great gravity and great consultation with the great men of God, and they'll annul your marriage after 30 years on the grounds you really weren't suited and you didn't have a marriage. And, of course, there's a big pile of dough there. Money talks. Why, certainly. How do you think Frank Sinatra got his annulment? Well, maybe the mafia put a gun to the Pope's head. I don't know. I don't feel sacrilegious saying these things because I know they're true. Not the gun to the Pope's head, but the money and all these things are the big prestige to make the church look good. So that meant that Frank's little favorite daughter is now illegitimate. Well, we'll work that out, too.
Huh?
Boy, I don't know what Bible they got that out of. I don't think you could even get that out of some type of terrible paganism. Now, I know the harlot claims it, and they do remit sins by the denomination of power, annulments and so on. But look at their children. Every dance hall, cut their hair, paint up like clowns. men out living with other men's wives, flirting around on the street, mixed bathing, everything else. Sure, they forgive, they remit sins in their own way, but their fruit shows what it is. It's not right for them, no sir. What do? They wear shorts, cut their hair, wear makeup. Jesus said, by their fruits they are known, the kind of seed that they are, that's theirs what it is. Now, he's talking about conduct here. And you notice that this, what Brother Branham is talking about, is not in this hour message. It isn't there. Because he's going back to the very Alpha of what we need now in the Omega. And since Alpha is Omega, and that which has been is now and will be, you are looking at the harvest. Now listen, the conditions we see today, which is the harvest in the denominational and religious world, and it's everywhere, billions. Can you find a people that show the original planted seed? Now, that's why Brother Branham said he is not going to come and marry a whore. Denominationalism has done it. Now, watch. The denominational seed gives denominational forgiveness. See? What are they doing? They're taking the scripture and perverting it to their own use and saying, we are the only ones to do it, and we're going to do it. Now, why did the Protestant church fail to see the truth that Brother Branham will bring out here? Because of the Roman Catholic church so perverting this scripture, they said, that's a hot potato. Drop it. If you take portions of scripture as your hot potato that you can't look at, if you can't face it, there's something wrong somewhere. Every one of us in this church, by the grace of God, is a Nicodemus. Bam goes the Word of God. Bam goes the Word of God. Are you going to take it or are you going to run? Now that's up to you. Up to me. You can be with the Pentecostal spirit. That's your business, not mine. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. I read Nicodemus this morning. Hey, there's something to that. You think I didn't get blam when Brother Branham said certain things? Oh, come on. But if you're Nicodemus, you say, hey, just a minute. He's got it. I don't. I don't have what he's got. So who am I to talk? Man, I can't even produce enough energy, bless God, to raise my eyebrow. This man could stand there and boast and know the fact that God said, you go raise Abraham Lincoln, he'd bring him out. Hoo-wee. Say, Brother Dale, would he say that? No, the Christ within him said it. No, certainly. Who do you think was in Brother Branham? He's the prophet. God was in the prophet. Not like he's in you and me. You know, that's the funniest thing in the world for people to get mixed up on that this late in the day. Can't even tell baptizer from baptism, baptism from baptizer, chicken from the egg. No baptizer, no baptism, no chicken, no egg. Unless you want a phony egg, and anybody can make a phony egg in any laboratory. You want a phony baptism? No problem. I know I'm kind of crude and satirical. That's my job. All right, denominational seed gives denominational forgiveness. That's exactly right. God said, let the word be after its kind. And so it is. That's right. Oh, brother, the scripture are true. You believe it? Now, herein lies the bride tree. That seed was planted to come up a beautiful tree functioning in every part and landing up in the program and plan that God wanted. But you notice the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and all those began to nibble away, until they're almost all the life was gone. But remember, there always was a bit of life. Now let's get this. If you have an original seed, right? Okay, let's take a pigweed. That's my favorite, because that's one used to drive me crazy. And another red weed that looked like it. Go out in the garden. Ho, ho, ho. Chop, 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 chop. And I was so happy getting rid of those weeds. And I'd come back after 3 or 4 days, and there's one of those miserable weeds, and it had one little root
to suck up the moisture. And you know what that thing was doing? It was producing seed. Producing original seed. All it took was just a teensy bit of life. Teensy bit of life. And a little bit of water. And some sunshine. Huh? So all it took was that fertilizer. And that wheat, shame on it, was bringing forth thousands just like it. All right, all it took in the church was that life coming up. That teeny weeny bit of life. And I don't care how it was squeezed, how it was maligned, how the devil came against it, how few they were, and there's few in this hour, that bride tree, that wheat, call it what you want, is going to be right there from original seed. Now we're looking at the false church. And we're talking about us by the grace of God that believe this word and know what is going on in this end time, even to forgiveness of sin. Because, oh, bless God, brother, there, all you got to do is confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Oh, come on. You're out of context again. Hey. Oh, brother, I'm no mechanic. Some of you guys know a little bit about it, and I think your wives know as much as you do. But honestly, you think I'm going to take the steering wheel? Well, that's the steering wheel. That's going to go. Watch me drive. You haven't got any wheels on your car. Oh, no matter. I got the steering wheel. Quote John 3:16. That's the whole Bible. It is, if you know all the points that go with it. And to get in the right places. See what I'm talking about? This is what Brother Brand's trying to get across to us. Now, and the Holy Spirit bears record of the predestinated gift that the church claims she has. Now, what is he talking about? Forgiving of sins. Hey, just a minute. What goes with forgiving of sins? Huh? Repentance. Change of mind. Okay. Let's talk about a thief. A thief is like you and me. Not afraid to steal, just afraid to get caught. Why? Because you got a thief mind, right? Now you go to God in that frame of mind, ask God to forgive you, knowing you're going to go right back to the pig pen. You're going to tell me you got forgiveness? No, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow is not repentance. Godly sorrow is the precursor of that which works the repentance. Big difference, brother, sister. Big, big, big difference. See? If this suit is made out of pure wool, there's got to be a sheep somewhere. Just doesn't come by itself. So, now watch. And the Holy Spirit bears record of the predestinated gift that the church claims she has. Now, just a minute. When did the Catholic Church ever have a sign from heaven that they can do it? Huh? Or the Pentecostals? Now, the Pentecostals are too shrewd. They back away from that one. Or they back right away. They sooner talk in tongues. I always knew they'd do it. Did you read yesterday's Dayton paper? Oh, brother. 20 Pentecostals in a car. You can bring it, Joe. I ain't going to talk about it, but I knew it was coming to that. Now, then, the Holy Spirit bears record of the predestinated gift that the church claims she has. What? By watering the word, punctuating the word with amen. Now, how do you punctuate it unless there's something there to make you know that you know, and you know you're punctuating it correctly? See? And you say, amen. When it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. They back right away and say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. When it says other things, amen, that's it, amen to everything. See, it punctuates the word. And God, by the predestinated gift to come to remit sins, but it was given to the Spirit-filled word body, because the word only can forgive sins, because the word is God. Now let's watch it. Wasn't it the word that was sinned against in the garden? So I believe God was sinned against. No, that's true. No, it's true, but it's not the truth. The truth is, the word was sinned against. Because the word had made all of this. And they saw it all. They knew it all right there. And they came right against that word. And God was right behind that word. And God was in the word. And the word, that's why it says, in the beginning is the word, and the word is in God, and the word was God. I'm talking now in terms of creation, what was able to come out of him by virtue of his omnipotence, omniscience, and love. So the word was sinned against. In other words, the word was taken out of strict order. So the word, to be effective, must be within the strict order, within the framework of the word. Or as Paul said, you must divide correctly. And you notice the word was sinned against by Cain. And when the word is sinned against, get the point now, when the word is sinned against, God is sinned against. The giver of that word. So, all right, these people must come to the place, amen, if I've got the Holy Ghost. Now, on what grounds? There's your grounds right there. Look, it's clear as A, B, C. Just think. Thank God, said Brother Branham, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the word. Now, that's why I keep preaching vindication, 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 until you might be tired. So, I wish Bear would get off of vindication. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want a vacation from vindication, don't come to church for the next 10 or 11 Sundays or so. By something Wednesday. Because I just use the word vindication like there's no other word outside the Bible except Jesus, Holy Spirit, and some of those words. Because you can't say vindication without thinking of a vindicator. And who's the vindicator? God's the vindicator. So I'm on good believing ground. I know you are too. Now, it was the word sinned against, as it is in Hebrews 6. See? Laying aside the Logos of Christ, what was back there in the Alpha. Come on up now to the Omega and look at it. At the Omega, you are not just talking doctrine. You're talking vindicated doctrine. Hey. Alpha. What's this for? 45 minutes, an hour and a half? 45? Oh, they're great. We can go home. But not yet. Listen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you don't know even physical things, and you should know spiritual, but you're talking to the one that can tell you. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See? Because Nicodemus said, we know you've got to come from God because nobody can do these things except God. And you've got an in with God. You've got to be a prophet. Now come, start talking. He said, smart fellow, I'm going to cook your goose right now. He said, I'm way beyond the prophets. I'm a prophet. But I am that Son of Man, the Son of God. And I've got the full access to the keys to the kingdom and the very whole thing that we are looking at. And he was looking at it. Now, let's go here to Hebrews 6. Now, we know that you are a man come from God because of what you are doing. Therefore, talk. Verse 4. It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened talk to. Tasting the heavenly gift, partaking of the Holy Ghost, tasting of the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come, they're going to fall away from what they're taught. That's the Omega. You are right back to the Son of Man who is in heaven, Luke 17:30.
At the same time, you got the Son of Perdition. Alpha and Omega never fail. And Brother Branham said, this is the Alpha, John 20. I'm going to take you to the Omega, and I'm going to show you how it works, and the only condition whereby it can work. Now remember, he's talking about word. It's only word that can do it. And you must be a word seed or part of it before anything is going to be done. Now remember, forgiveness lies in becoming one with the word, which is God and bride, and forgiveness of sins by this message only. That's what you're looking at. Now watch in the last paragraph. How true... Well, I better read this again. And God predestinated the gift to come to remit sins. But it was given to the Spirit-filled word body because the word only can forgive sins because the word is God. Now remember I said that's it came from God and it's the word sinned against. See, because how do you know you've sinned against God? Because of his word. How do you know you love God? Because of his word. How do you know anything about God? Because of his word. So the minute that you hit that word, you've hit God. You've come against God. How true the Pharisee was. I mentioned this morning, we get to this now. Look, I took my time. But the Pharisee said, this man forgives sins. We know he's a blasphemer. Only God can forgive sins. And this man's forgiven sins. He's forgiving sins of people. See, not knowing that that was the word. The word forgives sins because it's God. And when you become not your own, God knows, you and foreknew by foreknowledge, who would take this gift and who would use it in the right way. Those who have it are vindicated by the word of God with the rest of the word and the spirit. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking, actually, about William Branham. Now, remember, the same guy said, if the hand does it, the body does it. All right. And don't forget prophets, and Jesus was a prophet, but he's more than a prophet. He was the Savior prophet in the sense of the true legitimacy of true salvation, because prophets did save the people, but not like Jesus. Couldn't. They could give their blood, didn't mean anything. That was just a testimony to God. But this one's blood was shed for forgiveness. Those who have it are vindicated by the word of God with the rest of the word and spirit. And what's he telling you? Go in the scripture and see who is qualified to take this gift predestinated to the church. Now listen, Brother Branham said if the white children were going to be attorneys, there'd be those standing there, to the least of my brethren you did it. There's going to be a great throne, judgment throne set up now. See? Is that clear? Some would have you believe it comes by schooling, scholarship, degrees. If you go to school so long, if you become a bishop, study to be a pope or a cardinal or something like that. That some would have us believe that's where it comes from. When man, by laying on of hands, makes you something to do it. In other words, you're consecrated by a bunch of men that they just blabber. See? But they're off the word. In other words, only a vindicated prophet can say this. Nobody else. I think I've got something written down here in Matthew 5. And 11 to 12. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you, all manner of evil against you, falsely for my name's sake. All right, now, Brother Branham said these men are off the word that do that. And what are they going to do to you? What did Brother Branham? They're going to revile them, persecute them, see every evil thing about them. Of course, Brother Branham was a drunkard. He was a womanizer. He was a criminal. He did this and he did that. And he had this angel visit him and it drove him crazy. He couldn't attend to business because of it. And he made a lot of money. Oh, yeah, I read all their crud. And it came, where did it come from? Most of Canada. Now, I'm not hitting you Canadians here. But I'm going to tell you what. You watch Canada. I've watched it for years. I was born there. Who brought the church and state together? Canadians. Right in the open, America is all kind of secret, but they're listening to loving the kissing the Pope's toe now. Three visits to America, the Pope himself. What's he doing here? Why didn't Reagan go to see him? To get rid of communism. Did he? Communism is here
and democracy's here, and we'll be here till the stone carved without hands comes down and shoves it all to powder and it blows away. Don't you believe any crackpot politician. If you want to believe a pot or a vessel, believe that vessel right there, William Branham, vessel of clay. But in whom is the treasure? All right. Only a prophet could say what William Branham is saying here. Romans 11:29, gifts and callings are without repentance. You find me one place where it says in the Bible, the gift that lies in the church predestinated to the church to forgive sins is in Romans 11 or 12 or any place else. It hasn't been there. It's men. If you don't have the complete revealed word of God standing on, there is no message anybody preaches that gives forgiveness of sins. There is only one gospel today that has the forgiveness of sins, and that's by that man, William Branham. There isn't anything else. So if you want to think I've got this and I've got that, and I'm forgiven of my sins, you haven't totally repented. And if you haven't repented, there's no place you'll put word upon word of the Holy Ghost. You'll still be a Pentecostal. Oh, you think you'll get away with it? Don't try to fool me. Come tell you one thing. I don't intend to get away with it. I don't intend to get away with it. I'm not trying to get away with it. People scream, oh, God, purify my heart. Better purify your minds. Yeah. You got a dirty mind. What's going to get down here? And I don't mean dirty with just filthy things about sex and all. I'm talking about being off the word. There's the dirtiest thing in the world, that you corrupt this word. He that's filthy, filthy still is not a guy committing adultery or going to bars watching strip dancers. No, no, no. Oh, that's just a little minor thing. It's a man that comes against this word the same as Cain did. The men in the high places. Low place guys don't mean much. Jesus went after big guys. And where were they? Off the word. See? Gifts and cards are business. God gives it. And also John 15:16, if you want to write it down, listen close now. So let's go to John 15:16. I didn't look it up, but I'll look it up now. I go to John 15 and another verse, okay? Oh, he said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you, ordained you. You should bring forth fruit. Your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask in Father's name, you'll give it. He that winneth souls is wise. He tells you, here it is. Now, Brother Branham is using John 15:16 from Omega to the Alpha. Listen close now. How different Jesus was in his days from the denominations of his day. They'd point back to him, point back over the shoulder, back down through the time and say, we're Moses' disciple. We know that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. We know. They knew the history of Moses. But they did not know the God of Moses. See? Because he stood there before them in John 6 and said, before Moses was before Abraham, I am. In other words, that was God in the Son speaking. That was Jehovah himself, the burning bush. They knew Moses' history. Now, in Jesus' day, the Alpha was, as he said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? So we know there was casting of devils going out. See? Now remember, it's the same thing in exorcism within the Catholic Church and other churches. But there's a big difference in vindication. Now, Jesus sent out 70 disciples that healed the sick and raised the dead like the other 12 did. And remember, one of the 12 was a devil, and he was doing it anyway, the son of perdition, anointed to do it. Now, you never hear one more word of those 70, but they're out there. Now, let's look at the picture. Jesus had 11 properly doing it. He had 70 and better improperly doing it. How many did Brother Branham have? See what I'm trying to show you? They had the Alpha back there, and now they've got the Omega, and if the Alpha went to seed back there, how many are doing it today? All over the world, there's millions praying for the sick, and people are being healed left and right. And even in the Roman Catholic religion, which makes Mary the mother of God and deifies her to a position of the legitimate, recognized arm twister of Jesus, who's the arm twister of God. Now figure that out. Come on, it's the truth. She doesn't belong there. And they pray to dead people. And they're getting results. And Brother Branham explained it. He said, you go to the witch doctor, they think they're going to God, so they get healed. Because God's a healer. So, we're seeing things here in the Omega. Now watch. So it is today Omega. The denominations, or the people like the Sanhedrin, or the church that claim to know God like Israel. They claim they know the Word of God, but they don't know the God that was in Christ. Painted fire. Who can get warmed by a painted fire? A seminary experience? They knew Moses, but not his God. All right. What did Paul warn of to the Corinthian church? They were the tongues-talking church, the church of divisions and splits and everything under high heaven, blaming it onto God and everybody else. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith, without the baptism with the Holy Ghost, I am nothing. Now, you can be able to quote the Scripture and know many, many things and say, I know the doctrine, I know this, but without revelation, it will not bring you life. Now, that's the Word of God. Brother Branham used Matthew 16. Jesus could and did say amen. Jesus could and did say amen. He surely did. Well, let's just take a little book, look at Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. Unto the messenger of the church of, in which is in Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen. This is the Omega. Now, what is the Omega going to bring forth? Christ in the midst of the church, the bride, 100% vindicated with the living word that you can't add or take from. Brought back to virginity. Going to the tree of life and immortality. Now, this is what we're looking at. If we are not looking at this, forgive me, I don't even know why I bothered to preach, because I don't know what I'm preaching. Sir, I've missed something big as a barn. I've missed it. Jesus could and did say amen. Listen to this, brother. Now I feel like David winding that sling up now. I hope I don't seem sacrilegious to you, friends. I'm all right, but I just feel good. I'm just feeling fine now. Jesus could and did say, the Father that sent me is in me, and as he has sent me, so send I you. Now, he's quoting from John 14, verse 10, and John 20 and 21, and he's mixing the two of them. Why? Because Alpha is Omega. See? Now, look. We're looking at threes again. The great ministry of Jesus vindicating. The great ministry with the pillar of fire and Paul vindicated. Down, that's Alpha to the, this is the foundation here of everything. Now over here we see the word coming Gentiles. Here we see the word finalized to the Gentiles. Alpha become Omega, right back to virginity. And the word goes to Israel. 144,000 only. The same gospel. Now, if Israel can only have 144,000 at the end time, how many Gentiles are you going to get? Barely anybody. Because you're dealing with the flesh in the lineage. I bless God. My wife and I have 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. Everyone according to flesh, child of God. No. Israel had the election, had the doctrine, had it all. Only 144,000 in the end time, and a few under the altar crying, oh Lord, when's it going to be over? See? Now, we're getting at the end. Jesus could and did say, he could say it, and he did say it, that the Father has sent me, the Father that sent me is in me. That's Bible. And he has sent, And as he has sent me, so send I you to his disciples. Now watch, the Father that sent me is with me. If I do not the works of the word promised of my Father, then don't believe me, because they are the ones that testify to me. Hallelujah. Oh church, where are you at? They said, oh, we know that God did do this, but not today. Just a minute.
The same God was with Moses. They turned him down. They're doing it today. Alpha and Omega. Don't ever forget your principles. We've said this many times, but I'm getting right back again with this message. Go to your Gospels for your Alpha. Go to your Gospels. If there's an Alpha, there's got to be an Omega.
Can't be otherwise. Say, Brother Bale, I believe otherwise. Uh-huh, don't you kid me. The Bible said that the sacrifices were killed once a year for the beginning of sin, and Christ did not die every year, and Christ still does not die, but they put him to death to themselves in Hebrews 6. The Son of God, Holy Spirit ministry, and he's supposed to teach us all things right here at the end time. And people aren't listening. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't need anybody. If the Bible says you do and it's proven, then you better shut up. Because if you don't, you're Cain.
Oh, brother, I'm not Cain. I didn't kill anybody.
Oh, yes, you are. You're killing your own self. Don't you know Cain stood there before God and said, listen here, I'm going to tell you, I'm not my brother's keeper, and I'm going to sacrifice and do what I want, and you're going to like it. And he said, don't you dare kill me. Millions now living aren't going to die. Hallelujah. Demas Shakarian died a little while ago. I didn't know it. I don't want to send the man into a place he doesn't belong, but I wonder where he is today. Can you go to Rome and call a Catholic priest that believes in the Virgin Mary this and that and denies the revealed word of Almighty God in this hour and call him a prophet? You've got to be a false prophet. I'm not here to preach any man in hell or preach him into heaven. Let's get with the word. Paul the Apostle said I could miss it. He wasn't going to miss it. William Branham said it too. If I'm not bright, he says, bright out there somewhere. You get these guys that want to talk without vindication, brother, says, you better be very careful. See, word by word in my books is the only way I can do this and trust God that I'm right before you. Now, Brother Branham is talking about himself. And the Pentecostals wrote a book, Lindsay, A Man Sent from God. Why didn't they listen to him? I didn't even know he was sent from God, but I sure knew he was worth listening to. Yeah. But that God that was with me is in me. Now he's quoting, because if you don't believe it, see what's written of me. See what the scripture said I would do. And if I don't fit the scriptures, then don't believe me. Now how about the days of the Son of Man, the very ministry of Jesus Christ returned to earth? See? Again, let me say this, not sacrilegiously, but let me say that about the message that I'm preaching. If God doesn't vindicate this to be the truth, then it's not. But if the word vindicates I'm telling you the truth, then believe the word. Isn't that the same thing that Jesus said? If you can't believe what I'm saying, believe the works, then you'll come back to it. Then you right away say, well, hey, if this guy just came for works, well, this is Palestine. Moses took us out of Egypt. Babylon took us out of there to Babylon. We got back here now. Hey. Now this fella here, got to be a prophet. We're not going anywhere. That's fast. Hey, that should be Messiah. Right? They blew it. They didn't know the sign of the times. Couldn't put the word together. You follow what I'm trying to tell you here? If God doesn't vindicate this to be the truth, his message, then it's not. But if the word vindicates I'm telling you the truth, then believe the word. They're what testify of whatever I'm telling the truth or not. They're the testimony. They testify for the ministry he gave me. He promised this in the last days. Here it is. He said what it would do. Here it is. We're going right into it now. You see whether it's truth or not. John 14:10-12. Even he that has seen me has seen the Father. Brother Branham, what's God all about? Show him to us. You're looking at me. Oh, sacrilegious. No, hold it. Let him explain.
It's not William Branham, thus saith the Lord, that brings all those things so perfectly to pass, and that little girl with leukemia and that little boy. That was God did it.
Well, Brother Branham, I could agree that, but this business of looking at you, now that's out.
Hey, how do you tell? Well, how am I going to put this? How do you tell the first person that ever found out how electricity works and really knew how it works, and you're going to try to tell them different as though you knew better than he? How are you going to stack up against vindication? See, there's that nasty word again, vindication. But I'm going to tell you what. V is for vindication, especially for the D that stands for vine. Especially for the D that stands for T, which is true vine. If you're not true vine, you can't take it. You're going to sit here this morning and people hear my voice on tapes. They've got to turn it down. There's no way. There's no way. They've got to reserve their little thoughts. Well, bless God, I've got my thing coming. Yeah, she came here when I told her not to, and she went because I told her not to come back, but I said I couldn't stand her anymore. That goes for anybody. See, well, we got 80 people here. I could have maybe 800 out there hearing the tapes. I don't know. It could be 8,000. I don't know. People, they duplicate them everywhere. That's my message. My ministry is going out there to people. Let me, John 14 and 12. Now listen, let's go to John 7. And I don't have time to read the whole scripture here, so I'm not going to read it at this point. I'm going to read you John 7, verse 16. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In verse 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. And when they said that, they said, we got to get rid of him. Brother Brand said, there's more than one way to kill a guy. Kill his influence. You kill him just as dead. Now, if you want to read the whole chapter, it's the chapter called Omega of today's Alpha. How many minutes we got? 20? After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. In other words, leave the people that don't want you. Get away from them. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Go with the Pentecost as long as they'll take you. And now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said, and depart thence and go into Judea, that his disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. In other words, if you sat in the secret and did something in there by yourself in a dark room, nobody know about it, and you don't want anybody to know you or what you're doing. But he said, when you stand out here and do all these mighty works, he said, hey man, you better start talking. So he started talking. And they said, kill him. Yeah? It's true. Jesus said, my time is not yet. No, his brethren didn't believe him either. Jesus said, my time is not yet, but your time is always ready. Oh, brother. That's scathing. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it, he condemns it, and the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet to the feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. And then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was some murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he's a good man. Others said, no, he's a deceiver. He's just a fellow that can fool people because he's got a ministry. Come on. Don't fall for that stuff. We know. We're the nice guys. Well, show something. So crass. Are you impugning my integrity and my great knowledge and revelatory ability as a great servant of God? That's what Red Skelton would say. Making a joke before the whole world. That's what Red Skelton's. Clowns. Produce it! I'm sick and tired of people who mouth off and can't produce it. When I was in Pentecost, I was lied to. I still got a bunch of liars around me in this world. Backstabbing, deceitful crooks.
Get with it. There's the truth in a prophet. I'm not talking about you. I can name the preachers. You haven't even been around them. They don't believe the prophet. They claim they do. No more believe the prophet than nothing. So, well, if they believe the prophet, they believe it. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. Just watch them. All right. He deceives the people. Howbeit, no man overspake openly for fear of the Jews. So they said, well, they said, hey, these got to be real, but he'll kick us out if we say anything. So that's what they're still doing it. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters? He never even learned them. And Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be a God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, a yielded vessel that's ordained to God. No problem. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no one righteous found him. Now, did William Branham try to make William Branham somebody? No. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Oh, boy. Wasn't that good? As Brother Branham is saying that right here. Here is a predestinated gift to the church, and you've let a bunch of crooks desecrate it by saying, we're the ones who can forgive sins. This is tricky. Do you think if we're bride, we'll ever come to the place where we tell people, in fact, you can't be forgiven unless you come through the word that we believe? Hi-dee-dee-dee-dee, I can see you boiling in oil for that one. Slamming your church doors and running you around the block till you drop exhausted. Hang up by the toenails, God's not going to allow it. He's going to get you out of here. Stay with your testimony. See, this was preached in 62. In 64, I saw Brother Branham pick out a black man in the congregation. He told him, he said, you've been backslidden for years. You wanting to come back to God. You're sick. Told him all about himself. When he prayed for him, for his sickness, the man was healed. And he said, by the way, he said, your sins are forgiven. And right away, the Pentecost. I was happy. I'm maybe the only happy guy there that saw through it. And brother, I said, I caught that. You're saying, how can I say this man, sins are forgiven? He said, the same one that told me what was wrong with him and healed him is the one that told me to tell him his sins are forgiven. Well, I couldn't believe that. What could you believe? My God, I could give you a quart of ice cream and beautiful, delicious raspberries I'd sooner eat myself, and you eat them and say, well, I didn't have any. What are you, glutton? Well, you got no taste, or you're a zombie? I said, I'm showing you, Omega, this hour. I'm here and I was there with the prophet. You weren't. I'm telling you about it. And I could be 2,000 years old and telling you about Jesus. Or Jehovah that went back to a pillar of fire when he stood in flesh and did the mighty works through a man that said, my Father is doing the works and I'm telling you about it. And he shows me. And you wouldn't believe it. You know, Mel Brooks, didn't he have a 2,000-year-old man in his goofy little television place? A 2,000-year-old man. Was it 6,000 years? What was it? Anybody know? I can't remember. Put him 2,000. If a 2,000-year-old man came here, do you think they'd believe? If he was, they'd say, well, you couldn't be 2,000 years old. I got news for you. That pillar of fire doesn't have an age. And he's here leading us to the millennium. You see, in this church, I never said that. He's with the bride. And if we're bride, well, hey, my, we've got it made. Now, he promised this for the last days, what we're talking about. And Jesus said, I know him. You think you know Moses. Oh, I was over here reading, wasn't I? I didn't finish it all up. I said, this man, we don't know where he came from. Now, he said here, Moses gave you the law and you don't even keep it. The people said, you got a devil. Why? Because he criticized him and told him the truth. And it hurt him. Man had cut. And Jesus said, I've done one work and you all marvel. Just one. Moses gave you circumcision, not because it's Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, the law of Moses be not broken, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. See? Don't get your own ideas. Get to the root of it. That Nicodemus was trying to do. Then said one of them in Jerusalem, is not he whom they seek to kill. But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do they know that William Branham was really Elijah? And do they know the pillar of fire really is Jehovah God in the midst of the people? Oh, you know. You guys are so gullible. Yeah, you're just nice, gullible people. Why don't you get with it? You know. Howbeit we know this man whence he is, and when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Did they read the Bible on that one? Then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. They knew that he was born in Bethlehem of Galilee, and was raised in Bethlehem of Judea, and raised in Galilee. They knew all about his ministry, and John the Baptist pointing him out. They knew all those things. They didn't care two bits about it. You talk about Brother Branham being born in a humble cabin, and a white light coming in the room and hovering there. Oh, well, you know, we get fog in our part of the country, too. But not up in here, for land's sake. Not over your brain. See? But he said, I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they said, you think Brother Branham didn't know God like Moses? Paul face to face? Come on. They weren't just prophets. A prophet can have visions and dreams, but not see God face to face. Apparently, through an encounter. Moses, Paul, William Branham saw the pillar of fire. Looked at it. We saw a reflection, if indeed we saw that. That would be a reflection. See? They sought to take him, but no man laid hand him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than those that this man hath done? Now, when Elijah comes, will he do more than William Branham? He's not Elijah. See, this is Omega, Alpha. I'm looking at Omega through Brother Branham. The Pharisees heard that people murmured such things concerning him. The Pharisees said, the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Whither I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said, whither will he go? We'll not be able to find him. Will he go amongst the dispersed? And the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this? We'll seek him and not find him. And where I am, you cannot come. And the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, enter into me and drink. He that believeth on me, the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this sake, he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. And he's the same one, see. And some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, Christ comes of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And nobody thought to look at the records. Oh, man. See, Brother Dale, if I'd have been there, I'd have looked. You would have been one that crucified him. Brother Branham said so. I'd have been one to crucify him. See? So there was a division among the people because of him. See, denominations against truth. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officer and chief priests and Pharisees, and they said, why have you not brought him? And the officer said, never man spake like this man. In other words, he had the goods. They said, are you deceived also? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed on him? Has the Pope, the Cardinal, the Bishop, the present assemblies of God, the Church of Christ? But this people knoweth not the law or curse. They don't our denomination or teaching, and we are the ones. And Nicodemus, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and really knows what he's doing? They said, ha, are you from Galilee? Search. Out of Galilee comes no prophet. And poor Nicodemus didn't bother looking. Huh? He didn't go back in his testimony, folk. As far as I know, he was truly born again. But there are a lot of people don't look and really see, and they go right back on Brother Branham. I've heard them say, ah, I believe he has something to say. And when he said it, away they went. You know, William Branham was a shepherd. Not the chief shepherd, he's just a shepherd. That's pastor. Like Brother Branham said that Elijah was Ahab's pastor. He wouldn't listen. But you know, there were sheep that heard the voice. And they could not get close enough to Elijah, and they couldn't get enough of him. They hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. They were virgins of the Word. Brother, sister, it behooves us to be virgins of the Word. And in being virgins of the Word, we are in a place that I don't suppose, well, it hasn't been since the time of the Apostle Paul. We've got no time to go any further. But what we're doing here at this point, before we get to the end time little message that Brother Branham wrote by the pen that God gave him to write, we go right back to the Gospels, we go right back to the first church, and we begin to see everything in the Alpha. We see it right here in the Omega. And the only difference is this: it's all over, and the seed that fell in the ground has come to fruit with all the other seeds identical. And we're the last little group that's a living virgin. Now listen, he's come to us on the grounds that already we were justified, you didn't even do it, and setting the word correct. And he's with the bride right now. 8, 10, 800, I don't know, I haven't got a clue. By the grace of God, if I'm standing here, I want to be one of them. And if I'm taken out of here, I want to be one that comes up with the living. As Brother Branham said, so you we ought to live, that we will meet our loved ones in the resurrection. Let me tell you one thing flat. You can live the best life in all this world, and I commend you for it. You can be the most dedicated and disciplined person in all this world, and I commend you for it. But if you are off that word, now, the work of faith in your heart and mind is the greatest thing in this world, is to believe what Brother Branham got from this, the same God, the end time Omega message to identical to, I beg your pardon, rather, yes, right, to the Alpha Bride. And we are back there now where Brother Branham categorically said, Ephesus must come again. And the Ephesian church only lacked one thing to put it in a rapture, and that was the bride wasn't all in. And it goes through this strung out affair for 2,000 years and comes right back to the original seed word that was sown to bring forth a little bride, and that's going to bring them all out of the ground, bring forth a virtuous bride here. You say, Brother Bill, I tell you, I don't know if I could believe it. That's the beautiful part of it. Why I believe it? Because the majority simply can't. It is too simple. They've got to have some big thing, some big program. Oh, God, I cry this morning, take away all my stupid programs and do me a favor. Circumcise my mind and the heart that's like an onion, layer after layer of stupidity. Pour the best fungicide in the world on it, called the Holy Spirit-filled Word. And like the Drano in the drain, bubble all the junk out. Oh, man, you talk about a clean. Under the seals, we got it. That's right. That's right. We have it. Don't go looking down the road. We're going to find what he says about that. Don't look down the road. Look now. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Great high priest, mediator, intercessor. Come in you, Lord, the living God, not one that's afar up, but one that's near, who is even now upon this earth somehow, a pillar of fire in your own way, who brought the word through prophet, and now you yourself will raise the dead, bringing forth a living bride here into immortality. We believe it, and we believe that's what it is. And we know that it's going to be done. We're seeing it done. We can't figure all the how thereof, but we believe, Lord, we know enough to realize that this end time message is working in us an exceeding great hope of glory which was not manifested before. And we have seen you, Lord, Father, in your glory. We've seen you face to face, surely. And in seeing you face to face, though man would die, we are now living. And we have it by the word. And we believe, Lord, that there's a measure of your word in us now, that measure that is requisite in order, Lord, that we might be made perfect. And those do not have to wait on us any longer. The hour is here when judgment will strike the earth. But in the meantime, the grace judgment of God that has set us free, wherein we can be glorified in you and you and us, and get us out of here to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Father, we appreciate all that. We don't want to just talk about it, mouthing it.
But Lord, help us now to be more sincere than ever before, and to believe as never before, and just stand with the truth, Lord, because we know the truth will stand with us. Had Eve just stood there, the truth would have stood with her, and the whole world, we know, would have been populated with Adam and Eve standing and all their children, and the grass coming forth, the birds singing, the animals, everything in divine order, they in control. But Lord, now in the interruption, it's all coming back. And Father, I know that by the grace that you've extended, by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, by the Word, by that life in there, we also are entering into the understanding and reality that we are coming forth with it in that great millennium. And what a wonderful day, Lord, what a wonderful day when all the scales are off of our eyes and our heart, and the tongue has been absolutely circumcised with the heart, O God, and the feet and the hands and all things are dancing and singing in the joy of the Lord. Coming into that, Father, oh God, what a wonderful day, because the very thing we have hungered for and looked for is here now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us to stand still and see the salvation of our God. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take